Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah.
It's a powerful Saturday. It's another Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, coming to you live. It's Black Empowerment, African American Empowerment, and Empowerment Saturday and the Empowerment Network. Come on, people. Better love. There's no better love than for self and kind. No better love. Welcome to Empowerment Saturday. It's another Saturday of motivation and empowerment for African Americans. If you're listening, if you have friends, family, and relatives, tell them to tune in to the show. We're going to talk about Black Friday and the importance of Black economics, right? Our economic empowerment as we continue to move forward with returning to our rightful place. That's right. How will we do this? It's simple. Politics, political agenda, wherever you are, economics, which we'll talk about today, an economic agenda, right? Athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. Taking care of your body, eating right. I know y'all got down over the holidays. I know you did. I know you ate some good old food, right? But you got to have a fitness program to go along with that. And that has to be a consistent ritual. Every day you got to work on your health. You got to drink water. You got to be able to eat healthy foods, and you have to be able to take care of your body and your mind. Culture, relevant cultural programs, teaching your children about your culture and learning about it yourself. Then lastly, education, and that encompasses a complete holistic education process, not just education when it comes to school, more or less being able to understand that power of knowledge, because you know knowledge is power. All right, we're here today, so I'm going to open up with a clip.
Back during slavery, when black people like me talked to the slaves, they didn't kill them. They sent some old house Negro along behind him to undo what he said. You have to read the history of slavery to understand this. There were two kinds of Negroes. There was that old house Negro and the field Negro. And the house Negro always looked out for his master. When the field Negroes got too much out of line, he held them back in check. He put them back on the plantation. The house Negro could afford to do that because he lived better than the field Negro. He ate better, he dressed better, and he lived in a better house. He lived right up next to his master in the attic or the basement. He ate the same food his master ate and wore his same clothes. And he could talk just like his master, good diction. And he loved his master more than his master loved himself. That's why he didn't want his master hurt. If the master got sick, he'd say, "What's the matter, boss? We sick?" When the master's house caught a fire, he'd try and put the fire out. He didn't want his master's house burned. He never wanted his master's property threatened. And he was more defensive of it than the master was. That was the house Negro. But then you had some field Negroes who lived in huts, had nothing to lose. They wore the worst kind of clothes, they ate the worst food, and they caught hell. They felt the sting of the lash. They hated their master. Oh, yes, they did. If the master got sick, they prayed that the master died. If the master's house caught a fire, they prayed for a strong wind to come along. This was the difference between the two. And today, you still have house Negroes and field Negroes. I'm a field Negro.
We don't have to argue with anybody. We don't have to curse and go around acting bad with our words. We don't need any bricks and bottles. We don't need any Molotov cocktails. We just need to go around to these stores and to these massive industries in our country and say, God sent us by here to say to you that you're not treating his children right. And we come by here to ask you to make the first item on your agenda fair treatment where God's children are concerned. Now, if you are not prepared to do that, we do have an agenda that we must follow. And our agenda calls for withdrawing economic support from you. So as a result of this, we're asking you tonight to go out and tell your neighbors not to buy Coca-Cola in Memphis. Go by and tell them not to buy sealed test milk. Tell them not to buy, what is the other bread? Wonder Bread. And what is other bread come to Jesse? Tell them not to buy Hart's bread. As Jesse Jackson has said, up to now, only the garbage men have been feeling pain. Now we must kind of redistribute the pain. We are choosing these companies because they haven't been fair in their hiring policies. And we are choosing them because they can begin the process of saying they are going to support the needs and the rights of these men who are on strike. And then they can move on town, downtown, and tell Mayor Loeb to do what is right. And not only that, we've got to strengthen black institutions.
Listen.
I call upon you to take your money out of the banks downtown and deposit your money in Tri-State Bank. We want a bank-in movement in Memphis. Go by the Savings and Loan Association. I'm not asking you something that we don't do ourselves in SCLC. Judge Hooks and others will tell you that we have an account here in the Savings and Loan Association from the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. We are telling you to follow what we are doing. Put your money there. You have six or seven black insurance companies here in the city of Memphis. Take out your insurance there. We want to have an insurance in. Now, these are some practical things that we can do. We begin the process of building a great economic base, and at the same time, we are putting pressure where it really hurts. I ask you to follow through.
All right, there it is. Dr. King's powerful words. You heard them. I didn't make them up. But that is one of the reasons why he's not here anymore, because he started an economic movement that helped our people to begin to work together economically. And that's what we're going to talk about, the impact of economics today. But there is power in money. You're living in a capitalistic system. You have to understand the system of capitalism and execute so your family will remain stable. It is a powerful thing. I want you to go back and listen to this piece or find it on YouTube. Also, he talked about banking and insurance companies, and those kind of things really mean a lot. I'm going to transition over to Brother George for the Willie Lynch moment, and then we'll get to the lines. And I'm going to start with 1450. 1450, you will be up after the Willie Lynch moment.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and
Brother George. Good afternoon,
Brother Mark. And thank you for the invitation. Haven't been here for a couple of weeks, but I appreciate the invitation, brother.
We missed you.
Well, thank you. Well, this week, the Willie Lynch moment is going to come from an unexpected source, but it makes sense. This is from Stolen Legacy, George G.M. James's book on the legacy of ancient Kemet, stolen by the Greeks. Now, he opens up, this is in the introduction, he opens up talking about some things that are directly connected to Willie Lynch. Mental bondage is invisible violence. Former physical slavery has ended in the United States. Mental slavery continues to this present day. This slavery affects the minds of all people, and in one way, it is worse than physical slavery alone. That is, the person who is in mental bondage will be self-contained. Not only will that person fail to challenge beliefs and patterns of thought which control him, he will defend and protect those beliefs and patterns of thought virtually with his last dying effort. Now, that is a clear example of what we're still struggling with today. I think that we're getting to a point, to a turning point, but we gotta wrestle with this mental slavery thing. We have to wrestle with the things that they've taught us that are not accurate truths. You know, we have to reclaim our accomplishments to human civilization so that we can pass it on to our children and give our children a value, a sense of value, a sense of purpose, a sense of the ability to do. And so we have to reclaim those things. And so that's my Willie Lynch moment for today.
Thank you, Brother George. It is much appreciated. Much appreciated. I'll be calling on you a little bit later as we get into the conversation. Thank you, brother. All right. I'm going to the top of the list, 8128. Are you ready? It's the Empowerment Network. Marvin Rohn and Stan Macklin should be in just a few minutes, and we'll talk to him then. 8128. Are you there?
Hey,
brother, how you doing?
I'm doing great. All right. Hold on a second. Let me, I'm over here visiting the family down here in North Carolina. I'm going to need to wait for a little bit so I can talk.
Okay.
Yeah, we were all listening to the Malcolm and King expression of this whole thing. All right. So, yes, definitely. Brother, we need to build our own economic base through our children, you know, and for our children. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, the values that our children have will be our values, okay? They cannot have values without us instilling them in them. And we'll be able to determine where we're going by what we give our children. Okay, if we give them the right insight into their background, into their history, you know, into what they can do, you know, they'll realize that they don't need white society to determine who and what they will be and what they will have. And that's what it's been. That's where this house nigger thing comes from, is these house niggers trying to determine that they want to live and be like the master. But when they talk about being like the master, you're talking about the cruelty, you're talking about the total immorality, you're talking about the cutthroat, don't care nothing about them kind of situation. If you're not supporting them, then your value don't exist. And that is something that has to be totally wiped out. You know, that our value don't exist in terms of no one but ourselves. Right? We determine our value. And our values have always been higher than theirs anyway. Always been. Even in the midst of being in the worst conditions, our values have always existed at the highest level. You know, so, you know, it's just dealing with the reality of this society and not making excuses for it, you know, and not making excuses for ourselves, not having our own and working towards
true.
It.
True.
Basically.
We come from a great and mighty people, a great and mighty people. All right, brother, thank you for your comments. I'll be coming back to you in a swift few minutes. I appreciate the comments and continue to celebrate with your family.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. You know,
I want to
touch it.
I want to define economic empowerment for our listeners. And it can be defined as the development of the ability of the historically disadvantaged to engage in economic activity that benefits both the individuals in question and the broader society. Benefits, right? Your economic empowerment has to benefit you and your community. Your activity, everything that you spend your money on, right, has to benefit you, your family, and your community, right? And not making other people rich and successful. Just like on Black Friday, right? When I spend a whole lot of money on products, but how many products are we producing? Ask yourself that question. What am I producing? And if you're not producing anything, give me a call later on and we can talk about it. All right. My main man, Stan, is in. Stan Macklin, are you available? My line seems to be spinning today, but we're going to work through that. So as we continue to talk about economic empowerment, trying to figure out what we need to do as a collective, right? We want to think about how we can impact our communities, right? How we can collaborate. Dr. King stated best by saying your money, if you can use your money, if you can begin to put your money in our banks and bank with each other and develop insurance companies, those are the foundations for economic development and much, much more. Think about where he was in 68 when he made this statement, and I may play it again later. But we're talking about 2020. The technology is there. The resources are there. The information is there. The mindset and the mentality has to be there for us to make a difference and make a positive change in our community. I'm going to try to slide on into Brother Stan, if I can get him in. Stan, are you there? Having a difficult time with my technology today, but Marvin Rome will move forward whether the dial spins or not. All right. Let's see. Stan, you
there? I'm there?
Yeah, you on. Yeah, you got in,
all
man.
Right.
Somebody was trying
Sorry
to hold you
me.
Out, but you in. That's all right,
here.
Brother. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be on the show today. We were dealing with some of the new legislation that Governor Norton passed concerning law enforcement, police reform. And it was very, very, very good to see that go through. And now is law. So the no-knock warrant is over with now. You're going to have a warrant if you come to that door now. And that's just one of many other things. So that's what we kind of had an interview.
Well, as always, thank you for your continued investment in the community that you live in and in our broader community as well. So we're talking about economic
yes.
independence, right? And, you know, mm-hmm. I played a clip by Dr. King. I don't know if you heard it. Now I'm going to play it again a little bit later. But I'm going to go to the line.
Okay.
I'm going to slide down to 9282 so we can get some feedback on what they heard earlier. 9282, are you available?
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Hope all is well for everyone.
Hey, uh-huh. brother.
Yes, sir. Look, as Brother Malcolm said, I think we need to really take a look at that and study that. He said, the house nigga loved the master more than the master loves himself.
Hmm.
The house nigga will do anything and everything for the master. The house nigga is the buffer between the field niggas and the master. The house nigga is the trainer of the field nigga. The house nigga keep the field niggas in check for master. And unfortunately today, because remember Malcolm said the field nigga hated master. You know, if the house caught a fire, the field nigga hoping for, praying for a wind. He want the house to burn down. If the master got sick, the field nigga wanted him to die. He want no doctor, none. He couldn't stand him, despise him for what he had done. That's the field nigga. Unfortunately, we don't have those kind of field niggas today. Our field niggas today are wannabe house niggas. We got house niggas and wannabe house niggas. Our field niggas today just mad because they not house niggas. They want the piece of the pie. They want the good job. They want to be able to go up and stand up on Sundays in church well-dressed and look good and praise the Lord. They want that house nigga lifestyle so bad. But Master only got room for so many house niggas. So you got the other field niggas down there trying their best to show master that they deserve to be in the house. So if I got to kill 45 niggas a week, let me kill 45 niggas a week, master, for you. You know, if I got to beat my woman or keep my woman and leave my children to show you that, master, I'm ready to be in the house, I'm a good nigga, let me do that. We don't have field niggas anymore like Malcolm was talking about. We got house niggas and want to be house niggas. That's our problem. That's our problem. And we're not going to be able to have no economic empowerment if we stay in that mentality of house niggas and wannabe house niggas. You know, it just won't work. When you and I have discussed the characteristic of the one, and I wrote down a list of 10 characteristics or qualities of the one. But I realized just yesterday, when I was going over those characteristics, that if you don't do the first characteristic, you're not going to be able to do the other nine. And the number one characteristic of the one is you must be honest with yourself. And if you're not honest, and if we're not honest with ourselves as individuals, we're not going to do the other nine characteristics of the one, which is love yourself, love your kind. Be willing to die. You've got to be honest with yourself, man. When we look at the world that we live in today as black people, and I'm speaking as a black man now, I have to be honest with myself and say we the lowest people on the planet. Nobody wants to be black. You know,
I do.
We dye hair, dye face, lie, dye train. We don't want, nobody wants to be associated with being black or quote unquote a nigga. We have no militaries on the world level in this world. We don't control no educational systems in this world, no economical systems in this world, and we damn sure don't control no religious systems in this world.
True.
Nobody wants to be we got to be honest with ourselves and realize what has happened to us. We have to admit it, man. Everything we've been taught is a lie. Everything. I ain't leaving out everything we've been taught over the last 400 years in this system is a lie. and we've succumbed to the lie. You know, we got Muslims, we got Christians, we got Buddhas, we got Jehovah's Witnesses, and Islam, you ain't seen Allah. Now that supposed to be you've seen Muhammad, and Christianity, you ain't seen God, but you supposed to be seen Jesus. We ain't seen Buddha. We ain't seen Jehovah, but we seen their representatives.
Right.
So how do we know
right,
they even exist? All
right. I'm gonna have to hold you right there. I'm gonna give you another turn. Coming back around in a minute.
Yes, sir.
Hold that right there, brother. Thank you so much. Hey, powerful words, Dan. Powerful words. What you got?
Well, the brother is he's just disenchanted. And he
I think
is,
he is a happy fella. He is. I
think
he's happy. Just that's his truth, man. I think he got a lot of good points. We don't run nothing. And a whole lot of us don't want to be who we are. Don't love ourselves in a lot of ways. But I'm not debating that, but I'm just saying what I hear him saying that is pretty much spot on for me. Told a lot of truths.
Well,
let's see what the listeners have to say. I'm going to let you get your point in, and then we're going back to the line. Go ahead, brother.
Well, as I always say, in our original state, we were kings. We are kings and queens, and we have something. We are somebody, and we did something. Trying to work in a system that was not designed for us is what the brother's talking about. And, of course, you're going to create the mechanisms to keep it like that. It's perpetual. You know, come on. That's reality. That's where it is. Until we get to the place where we have our institutions, start developing our institutions that define our own reality, you're working in a reality that is just a figment of our imagination because it's mind control and brainwash.
True. All right, going back to the lines. 9542, if you're listening, you're up next on the Empowerment Network's Marv Barone and Stan Macklin. Are you available? 9542.
You're listening.
All right, let's move on. 6306. All right, well, let's continue on, Stan, until we can get them in. Looks like I'm spinning a little bit on these lines today, but hopefully we'll have enough time to get everybody in. It's just spinning. Okay,
well,
we're talking about. Yeah, we're talking about returning to our rightful place, and one of those things is to be able to kind of know what that is. Okay, 6306, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Thank you for having me. So, I just want to feed off of what Mr. Chambers and Reverend Stan was talking about earlier. So I will say this. There are a lot of black-owned businesses out here. And one of the arguments that we heard when Trump became president was more people created businesses than before, more black people created businesses than before. We created businesses because we benefited from a system that wasn't made for us. And so because we have been, because we can vocalize ourselves more now, they had to include us. We didn't get these businesses because the system was made for us. We just benefited from this whole system. But the thing is, there are a lot of black-owned businesses out there that we can support.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that we need to do it is we need to start denying social media in ways, because social media is free advertisement for our black businesses that we may not know about. So while we're ignoring social media out there, the business, the black-owned businesses are booming out there. There's all kinds of businesses out there. There are businesses that help you start businesses out there. So we do need to support our black-owned businesses. But one problem that I have seen with these black-owned businesses is because we don't have the resources that some of our white businesses have, we pay a little bit more. We pay a little bit more for their products. And so, you know, it comes to a point where we have to decide, okay, are we going to take our money? Because we make less money than everybody else. You know, are we going to take our money and spend a little bit more to support our black-owned businesses? Or, you know, what are we going to do? So there are things that we need, there are necessities that we know that for the most part, we know that black people of color don't own it. Say, for instance, toilet paper, paper towels. I don't know too many black-owned businesses that make toilet paper and paper towels. You know, but we need toilet paper. You know, not unless you're rich enough to get a bidet. So, you know, it's like we have to keep it into perspective. Another thing is we need to teach our young people about starting businesses. And I'm going to bring this up because I know it's pop culture, but I'm going to bring it up because nobody heard. And it was such a profound statement that he made. So I think it was, what was it, Jeezy and Gucci Mane? Or not Gucci. I don't know who it was. It was a versus battle. And, you know, since we've been in COVID, they've had artists that have been battling with each other. So one of the artists said, I have on $10,000 worth of clothes or a $10,000 outfit. And the other rapper said, well, I own half of Atlanta. And that's deep. Because we're talking about two rappers that can educate young people. One of them's talking about $10,000 worth of clothes he got on, so that's just what he had on. No telling what else is in his closet. But the other rapper's telling them, well, I own multiple businesses around the Atlanta area. And that's what we need to start teaching our kids. That's what we need to start. We need to start worrying about, you know, I have on Gucci shoes or Louis Vuitton and all this other stuff and say, you know, that stuff doesn't even matter. It's going to be out of season, out of style in another month. You're going to get tired of it, or people are going to start clowning you for wearing the same Prada shoes over and over again.
True.
But I'm going to tell you, when you own your house and don't have to have a house payment, can't nobody take that away from you unless the government come down and tear it down.
True.
And that's forever because you have a roof over your head. So the thing about it is we need to start teaching our young people, of course, what happened in the past or what got us to this point and why it's so important that we start economically making better decisions for ourselves and for our children. And it's not investment in designer clothes. You know, we're paying a whole bunch of money to advertise for them.
True.
We really are.
That's true.
We're paying them money to advertise their clothes. And that's the mentality
so
we need to get out of.
You got that right.
So,
all right. Thank
that
you.
That was my two cents.
Thank you, sister.
Thank you.
All right. I appreciate it. All right. We're going back to the lines. 5411. 5411. Welcome to the Empowerment Network. Marvin Rowan and Stan Mackum.
How y'all doing today?
Hey.
So good. Can you
hear me? How are you? Yes.
Doing pretty
right
good.
Ahead.
I don't have a lot of time, but I think the biggest problem with you know, black people as a culture is we pretty much taught to consume. We hyper consumers, right? And it's not instilled inside the home actually how to manage money and what to do with your money. So you find it funny that in elementary school, you taught English, you taught math, you taught civics, but they never really teach you about money and how to manage it. But we live in a capitalistic society, so you got to think, why wouldn't they want to teach you about money if everything around you revolves around money? It's probably because, you know, if you think about it, the only way you can get over on somebody is if they don't know how to use something. So if they don't know how, understand how to manage money and spend money, then it's easy to get over on. So until black people understand how to play this game, because I hear a lot of people say, you know, the system wasn't designed for us. Well, it's not, but unless you're going to change the system, you better learn how to play it. Because if not, you're going to lose. It's a game out here. And the ones who know how to play the game will continue to win. And the ones who don't, will lose. So until you understand, like, exactly how to move your money around and invest and stop being a hyper-consumer and always having to buy goods, think about this. Why is it that almost every month in the calendar year has a holiday? Because they're trying to make you spend money, right? So as long as you spend money, you know, you're going to be in a certain situation, because most of the time it's usually on liabilities and not assets. Like, how many people sit down at the table and discuss, okay, let's put our money in this asset so we can get a return on it. Most of the time it's, well, what are we going to buy everybody for Christmas? And it's usually goods that they don't use, or, you know, some type of product that they don't use after a month or so. So until we understand the power of the dollar, you're not going to build those institutions. And, you know, I'm not saying that we're not kings and queens, but how can you be a king and most of a queen and we don't have thrones? Like, this is the thing. We don't have the assets that we need. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just right. It sounds good. But you got to have something in this world, or you're not going to easily be looked at it anyway. So, you know, that's my two cents. And until we learn how to work that capital and invest it, we're always going to be at the bottom of the barrel. Because it's not that we don't have it. If you look, they say, you know, black people are the biggest consumer base. Well, if we consume a lot, then, you know, why aren't we consuming, you know, investing, not just consuming? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So once we get into that mindset of, okay, trying to get a return on your dollar and investing, you're always going to be at the bottom of the totem.
That is so true. That is so true. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate that. That was more than 2 cents. That was $1 million worth. So we got $2 million worth on two calls just quickly. So go back and play this in archives and listen very carefully. There's a lot of meat on this bone today. This is a Thanksgiving after meal. You might want to take part in it. All right, Stan, are you there?
I'm here, my brother. I'm here.
All right, what you got?
Well, I mean, like I said, I think it's a lot of disenchantment out there. Speaking the truth, but we have to, we just have to go back to the original foundation. As long as we keep talking about the problem and don't work to solve the problem, it's going to stay the same. I'm not about staying the same. We don't need that. When we put our foot down and declare enough is enough, things happen. And that's the only way changes in the company.
Got that right. All right, let's go back to the lines. I'm going to 9542. If you're ready to talk, we're ready to listen. Welcome to the Empowerment Network, 9542. Are you there? All right, maybe they're listening, man. We got some listeners today. Nothing wrong with that. All right, let's go on up to 4756. We got a lot of numbers on the board. 4756, are you available?
Yeah, this is Brother Warren in New Orleans. Wake up. How you doing there?
Hey, Brother Warren.
Hey, enjoying the conversation, and I did enjoy that piece from Dr. King when he was speaking. I think that's a very important speech he's given, because what we also find, too, with the promotion of Dr. King, they don't show him speaking to black people, particularly black people, as opposed to speaking to America for rights and stuff like that. And I think that was very important piece. Yeah.
That's true.
I also want to, with all due respect to El-Haj Malik Shabazz, formerly Malcolm X, with all due respect to him, I want to challenge the concept of the house nigga in the field nigga.
All right.
During enslavement, the segmentation of labor was more complex than that. You had an element of blacks who were skilled craftsmen. They were blacksmiths. They were carpenters, so on and so forth. So they didn't work in the house or they didn't work in the field. And in the house, and remember, everybody's enslaved, so nobody picked what it is they wanted to do. So if you got picked to work in the house, it's because you were a slave. You didn't tell the master where you wanted to work. But in the house, among the people who worked in the house, were also allies to revolts. The Haitian Revolution participated with Toussaint Louverture worked in the house. The largest slave revolt on U.S. soil, 25 miles from where I am in New Orleans, in 1811, was started by a guy who worked in the house. The people in the house was able to relay information to people in the field about what was being discussed by the master and his comrades who were other slave masters. And let's not forget, there were many field slaves who protected the master and his family when it was a revolt. So it's more complex than just the simple, if a person worked in the house, that meant they liked white people. If you worked in the field, you hated white people. With all due respect, but I understand the point that he was trying to make. He was trying to make that, he was trying to give a lesson about black people who leave from their community and who try to identify with the community of the dominant society. So that's pretty much the lesson that he was trying to give. But I also want to say, with respect to an economic agenda, is that the first thing for an economic agenda among African Americans to be realized is something called consciousness. You can have right now, you can snap your fingers, and we can have all the black businesses we say we're supposed to have, and we have all the services, and you can even have it to where we're going to each other, support each other, but if the consciousness is not there, within 24 hours, it's all going to collapse. So,
true.
Let's say my house was burning, and I hope that it doesn't burn, and I had to run out and save two books. There'll be two books I'll pull out of my personal library: The Destruction of Black Civilization by Chancellor Williams, and A Blueprint for Black Power by the late Dr. Amos Wilson. Because Dr. Amos Wilson does a lot of discussion on what is consciousness. I mean, consciousness is multifaceted to understand it. So the wealth, the infinite wealth that we want to have, really is in our consciousness. Because once the consciousness is realized, the physical manifestation will be realized. If we're starting businesses to emulate, let's say, white people's businesses, then, you know, we're going to fail because we have no consciousness there. You see what I'm saying? So consciousness, the concept of consciousness, is very important. So I recommend people read Dr. Amos Wilson's books. One is called The Falsification of African Consciousness. And his last magnum opus, A Blueprint for Black Power, he does several chapters on consciousness. Appropriate consciousness is power. That's why people are invested in making sure we have a wrong consciousness, a falsified consciousness, because they know that if an appropriate consciousness is realized in the African-American population, then the exploitation that they do of us will be impossible.
There it is. Warren hit it again. Thank you, brother. I'm going to try to hit you before we leave. Great, great points. Stan, are you there?
I'm here. I'm here, my brother.
All right. What
I'm
you
here.
Got?
Well, this brother, I like the balance. I like the balance. He balanced it out. And he didn't put the brother down. He's angry. He just brought out another perspective that was good. And we need that. We have to work in a way where we can complement each other and not demise each other.
That's so true. All right, let's go back to the lines. 7974. Welcome to the Empowerment Network. Marvin Rohn and Stan Macklin, you're up.
Hi. So I think that I agree, particularly what the last caller said, and I'm glad he made the point about the complexity of the roles during slavery time, because, you know, sometimes we don't always talk about the system of oppression and how it shows up. I mean, it shows up in lots of different ways, but that power piece it's really important, right? The power that people weren't just on selecting jobs. It wasn't a job fair that they were having. Is that you were put into roles that they thought. And I think those roles in particular, a lot of times were acceptable. They helped create norms for what they say about, you know, the people who worked in the house, right? The beauty norms of you were acceptable enough. And if you weren't, right, then you worked in another area or you weren't put in front of white people that made them comfortable. And those norms still exist today, right? So if your hair doesn't look a certain way, if your clothes don't fit sort of, you know, these norms, that beauty truth of oppression still fits today even in corporate America, that it, you know, it's really an infrastructure of how comfortable overall that white people feel in terms of our white supremacy structure. So I'm really glad he brought up that point. To the point of the economic empowerment, I think is really important, and I agree with what everyone else said. I think it's really important to teach our children about debt. And, you know, it's not how much money you bring in, but how much money do you owe, right? Because if you owe a lot of money, you can bring in as much money as you want, but if that money is continually going out, then you're not able to save that money, to keep that money, and it's not really working for you. And I think the ways that in which our money can work for us is not just this sort of monolithic way of thinking that we just have to work for it, right? But to what other people are saying, we can start our businesses, we can invest, right? And our money can be working for us while we're literally asleep. And so I think that we have to think greater and broader than just sort of these anecdotal ways of how we get money transactionally, get money, and how we invest and make that money also work for us so that we can create our own businesses, right? So that we can invest in each other. But I think really important to be able to teach our children about wealth, about debt, and how do we give our children the upper hand when it's time for them to go to college or when it's time for them to start their own businesses or buy their own home, right? What is that investment that we can put in them so that they know that and create that legacy and continue to build that legacy? But we also have to start with ourselves. And I think, you know, a lot of times you see on social media, I think Jackie was talking about social media, and I'll say on social media, a lot of times you also see, though, people, once someone has passed, a GoFundMe page goes up, and it makes you think, and I know that unexpected deaths happen all the time, but what are ways that we can be more empowered to think about how do we, you know, death is the one thing we know is going to happen. Right, so how do we make sure that we are taking care during an already stressful time with life insurance policies and those types of things? And this is one example, but I think that we have to invest in our education. It's not just passing down that, but passing down overall context, history, and setting ourselves up so that we can be successful and pass that legacy of successfulness down, because it's a mindset. It really is a mindset, and I think once we're able to broaden our perspective and really open ourselves up to what success can look like and not just what we were told success can be, I think it can make a huge difference.
True. Thank you so much, sister. Powerful words. Once again, Stan, they continue to flow today, man. It's a powerful comment.
Oh, yeah.
What you got?
It's a good thought-provoking program today. You know, we got some solid listeners, and they think through on the issues. I mean, we're dealing with something that is very serious. And unless we know how to navigate in the midst of this seriousness, things remain the same. So this is a good shout-out to the audience today for their participation.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Let's go back to 8128. 8128, are you ready and available? It's the Empowerment Network. Marvin Rona, Stan Macklin, coming back at you. Are you there? All right, I'll move on down and try to come back to him. 9282. All right, hold on. Let me see if I can get him back in. You there?
Hello?
Yeah, brother, you there?
Yeah. I'm here.
All right.
Here.
We had a whole lot come through just now. What you got?
Yeah, right. Listen, one of the brothers was talking about consciousness, right? You know, there is a thing called critical consciousness and system justification. Okay.
a lot of our people are caught up into system justification, which in essence just means that they think that the system is right, okay? That the way that they treat us, the way in the position that we're in, the things that we have or don't have, are based on us not adhering to the system. Okay? And then there's the other side, which is critical consciousness, is where you learn how the system has been depriving us, have been blocking us, have been exempting us, and for the most part, have been taking us into industries and areas and positions where we are doing nothing but supporting them.
Uh-huh.
So, but when you realize that that's what's going on, and you get past the anger, you get past the self-pity, you know, you get past all of those debilitating thoughts about your position and start looking at your ability to be and have whatever it is that you want out of this life by you making sure that you understand what is holding you back. Okay? But you can't do that unless you get to looking at the knowledge that has been accumulated and reading some of our black authors and professors and researchers that have determined exactly what has been going on for the last 400 years. There are no more questions. Okay? There are answers. You know, every question that could be asked about these folks have been answered or is available to be answered as soon as you pick up a book and look at your black authors and determine, you know, that, as Malcolm said, you've been hoodwinked. You know, you've been lied to, you've been stepped on, and you've been ignored. For real. Okay? And we can change that by opening our minds to black economics, to us coming together as a unit and doing things as a unit, not as separate individuals. Because the fact of the matter is, and there's no getting around it, okay, if you're working for white society, white society is the only ones that's going to benefit from it. Okay? They are benefiting off of your sweat, and you are not, whatever the crumbs you're getting off the table are just based on what they want you to have. Period. Okay? You don't determine. You can't self-determine unless you are in control, unless you know how to run your own business. You learn how to teach your children economics. You know, you have financial literacy. And then you can come together with other people, like one of the sisters said. You know, they're black businesses. But do we have black business conglomerates? Do we have black business associations that are speaking to more of the people and giving them the team, giving them the skills that they need to have their own and to come together as a unit? You know, that's basically what this is about.
That's right.
And at this point, we really have no excuse. We just have a job to do. Okay, and we have to
do
it because our children and our future is dependent on that. We have to come together. You know, and it's not about individual leaders. It's about everyone being a leader.
True.
Okay. You know, leading from themselves to their family, you know, to us as a people. Right?
True.
And
that's so true.
And that's how I see it. How you doing? Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, brother. All right. I appreciate you. Stan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, my brother. Yes.
All right. We got some good points in. Some good points in. Anything you want to follow up with on that, I'm going to slide on over to 9282 after I get a comment from you.
Let's go ahead. Let's keep it rolling.
All right. 9282, you're live. Marvin Rona, Stan Mack.
Yes, sir. Live and kicking. I agree with the last caller. Most all the callers, but the last caller definitely was, I agree with what he was saying. And we have to understand that, you know, we've said earlier, and I think Stan said it, slavery is mental. It's not physical, okay? It began physical
because we had to make it mental. And so we had to start with pain, suffering, death, taking control of your mind, enslaving you, okay, to create a slave, okay, which we now are, slaves. And as far as slaves go, and here's what I mean by this, as far as slaves go, there are no good jobs for a slave. I don't care what your job is. If you're a lawyer, a doctor, an Indian chief, a radio disc jockey, you're still a slave. And you're functioning as a slave in the system, as the previous caller said. Your job in this system is to make the system better. Whether you become the best DJ the system has ever seen, the best lawyer the system has ever seen, the best doctor, the first black president, the first black whatever, your job is to make, as a slave, is to make the system better. And we have to start looking at this thing. I mean, if we're going to be real about it, like I said earlier, be honest with yourself. We need to, as the other brother said from New Orleans, that self-conscious, the consciousness, your mind, the greatness that's in you, that greatness of mind, your creativity, your concept. Just imagine, if you will, God, the first creator of all. He had to visualize, to have a consciousness of a universe, of a moon, of stars, of the sun, of people, to create this massive thing we now call the universe, came from his mind. That's consciousness, the greatness that's in you. And that's been tailored in us because we are slaves. It's been limited. We just have certain functions that are called jobs. And the better, excuse me, nigga you are, the higher the job you're going to get, and the more you're going to get paid for making the system better, okay? And this is coming from a brother that's been the first black journalist to be the editor of a larger newspaper in the Navy. So I've been some first black niggas before. First black to work in television production in the state of Virginia, the second black to go to motion picture script writing and production at the University of Southern California from the Navy, you know, the first black man to be a director at Virginia Housing Development Authority. I have been that nigga. But your job is to make the system better because you are a slave, is what I'm saying. And we've got and to be the one, we've got to be honest with ourselves and admit that's true. That admit all that. I admit I was the first black. I understand what happened growing up in my life, what happened to me when I thought I was all this and all that. I was just another nigga. As a man told me one time, you know what they call a black man with a master's degree? No, what? A nigga. I was in those positions, you know, but the thing I kind of held on to, and I thank God for, I never forgot who I was and where I came from. And my thing has always wanted to be to help my people. It's not about you as an individual. It's about us. We've got to start thinking of us. I'm not trying to run off and get a job, get educated, get a master's, a PhD, and lead a community and say, oh, God, I made it out of Gilpin Court. No. We all need to make it out of Gilpin Court, or go back and rebuild Gilpin Court and keep it and make it strong for our own community like it once was. It's about us. We got to function as a family. I didn't want to say a unit, but as a family for what that means. It's about us. If I rise, you rise. If you fall, I fall. It ain't about me selling out or getting something over here and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to then blame black folk. And said, them niggas crazy, man. Them niggas ain't worth nothing. I'm going to get mine. No.
All right, brother. Well, I got to wrap you up there.
Yes, sir.
We got a minute left. Let me turn it back over to Stan for closing statements. Thank you, brother. Thank you, all listeners. Stan, what you got?
The game was thought-provoking. Believers, we have to return back to our original foundation. We are ambassadors on earth. Let's exercise our dominion. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
All right. Thank you, brother, and thank you for listening. And one quick point. The word nigger is going to be a part of this discussion because we're dealing with a history that has that word prescribed as a part of it. So if you are offended by that word, just give it a pass. Until next time, it's your main man, Marvin Roan, Stan Macklin, and the crew coming to you live. We'll talk to you next week. Love y'all all. Be good to yourself and do something positive in your community. Peace.
To love, pure and chaste from afar. To try when your arms are too weary. To reach the unreachable star. This is my without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peace and calm when I'm laid to my rest.
Peace and quietness you're sure to find,
and the world will be better for this. That one man scorned and covered with scars still